you where he needs you to be to fulfill whatever he has for you to do, even if he needs to knock down walls. I can't wait for the day where we get to walk through walls. I think that's going to be awesome. We don't need doors anymore. We could just have houses with no doors, and you can just walk through the wall. You can have a lot more space for furniture. Sorry, that was done. I had this is totally off topic, but I thought this was interesting because I'm always going back to Adam and Eve and trying to figure out the whole. I was reading Gabby a book this week, and I noticed it was talking about the Garden of Eden. It talked about the tree of knowledge. And that's not accurate. It's not the tree of knowledge. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God made Adam very smart. He named all the animals. He tended the garden. God didn't, when God made everything, he already prepped into it everything. You know, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, it's obviously the chicken because eggs can't hatch themselves. You know, so God gave Adam wisdom already off the bat. The problem was, the thing I've always wrestled with was, why did he eat the apple? Why did they eat the apple? It's because they didn't trust God. They're like, well, what's God hiding from us? But you know what? And you think, well, that's stupid. But, kids are the same way. Why is mom and dad telling me not to do this? It's because you're not mature enough to understand it yet. You may have the knowledge. You have the knowledge to walk out in the street and play in the street, but you don't have the wisdom to understand why not to go play out in the street. You can go out and play in the street 100 times and nothing will happen to you, but that one time it may. So they weren't, this isn't scriptural. They weren't ready yet because they didn't have the wisdom to understand what was about to be bestowed on them by eating the apple, the knowledge of good and evil. Gabby does not know what's good and bad. She can know how to do whatever she's doing, but she doesn't know what's good and bad. She doesn't know. I know, because I'm older. I've lived a lot of years. So when I get in fights with people on the internet, and they're always young people, and they tell me how stupid I am, and I'm like, you're 18 or 20 or 25. I'm almost 50. I've seen a lot of junk. So, and I could be wrong. I'm okay being wrong. But that's why you listen to older people. Older people have lived through it. We don't. When the news tells you something, you can go to an old person and you go, hey, you lived way back then. What's the truth? What are they saying? And then they can tell you, oh, well, they're actually, it meant this and so. So that's why you go back to the oldest person of all, and that's God. And he has the answers for everything. Because the world is full of deception. I didn't understand when I was a young man. It said, let God be true and every man a liar. I was like, this guy's got to tell the truth sometimes. I didn't understand. People are deceptive for a reason. They're either trying to get something or, people are deceptive for noble reasons. Hey, I want to, eat today. There's nothing wrong with wanting to eat. But I like people who are truthful. Hey, I was an idiot and I lost my house and blah, 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 and I'm starving. Can you get me some food? Yeah, I'd love to. I don't care what people's circumstances are. I want to bless them because God wants to bless them. I'd rather you tell me I'm a scoundrel and I'd be like, awesome. We're starting off on a good footing. Tell me you're a scoundrel. I love Israel. Israel's amazing, but I can't stand how much they complain. I'm like, what God do you have? Have you forgotten who is your God? He is the God of the universe. It's like you guys should just be calling out to him and going, hey, we're here. We're sorry. The problem is they're not sorry. They like to be smart. We think we're smart. They're a really good example of who we are. My dad would always say that when you're in the story, you're reading the story, you're often not the hero, you're the bad guy. It's like, yeah. And without God, you are. You're the bad guy in the story. You're going to do exactly what the bad guy did. You're going to use your own wisdom. Remember Saul wanted to do the right thing, but he was impatient. He's like, well, we got to do this sacrifice, and we got to do it now. And God told him to wait for the priest, and he didn't. He's like, you know, I can do it. I know it. I've seen it done. I can do this thing. He didn't do it God's way. You know, he did that a couple of times, and God was fine. God was like, I'm going to remove you from power now. He didn't do it immediately. You ever notice that? When people do bad things, God doesn't immediately. Oftentimes, he didn't even do it to them. He would do it to their generations past them. You know, like Jonathan did not inherit the throne. I mean, I don't think he would have, because David was meant to be there because of all the prophecies, you know. But, hallelujah. I am going to read in, where am I going to read today? Nehemiah. I had to figure out which of my four versions, volumes, Nehemiah was in. It's in the second one. If you guys read the greens, it's in the second volume. It's good. I saw a little neat video this week. And it was a guy, they found this temple. And in the temple, it was an Assyrian temple, and they kept digging. They didn't know what it was, and they kept digging, and they kept digging, and they found more rooms and more rooms, and they found all this written knowledge. And it talks about the Israelites, and it talks about the wall, and it's a secular documentation of what happened in the Bible, and it agreed 100% of what's happened in the Bible. And I love that, because more and more and more and more stuff like that keeps showing up. There was a scroll that somebody found and a long time ago, and they couldn't ever decipher it because it was rolled up and it was falling apart, and they now have this new technology, and the words that they thought, well, those words aren't there, so it's inaccurate, and they've now found it. They found the words, and it's 100% accurate to what the Bible is. And it's like, we don't need that stuff, because we have God, and we have the Holy Spirit. But man, it's fun when that kind of stuff comes out. We live by faith. You know, I thought it was interesting because I keep hearing in my head, don't get saved by grace and then live by the law. And then I was listening to Luther's commentary on Galatians, and it was like Abraham didn't have the law. Abraham didn't have the law. He couldn't live by the law because he didn't have it yet. Remember, it didn't come till Moses. But Abraham's faith was counted as righteousness. The law only has one purpose, and that's to show us we need God. So if Jesus fulfilled it,
looking for the sign up sheet.
If Jesus fulfilled the law, why are we still living under it? We can't do that as a believer. Does that mean, and people have problems with it. They go, well, you can't just go out and sin. You're like, yeah, you shouldn't sin. But you know, Jesus said he'd take care of that too. He said that what I began in you, I will surely complete it. We're always trying to take God's jobs away from him. God said he would make us perfect. Don't take that job away from God. You can't do it. First of all, you can't do it. It'll never happen. And you'll go crazy trying to do it, or you'll either, you know, you'll be legalistic or you'll be licentious. I would be the licentious, because I would be like, I can't do this, so I'm just going to go enjoy myself. I would not be the legalistic person, because I would see there's no way I could do this. So I'm glad God did it for me. And that's exciting to me. What, man, what a burden that takes off of you. So anyway, all right, let's get into Nehemiah.
Uh-oh, there they are.
And the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, and it happened in the month of Chishulu. This is where I was getting into the months and stuff, because their calendar is not like our calendar. It's kind of off by like half a month. So Chishulu is around November, December-ish. Not that that matters, but it does, because numbers matter in the Bible. They all kind of line up, and God shows us things. And it happened in the month of Chishulu, in the 20th year. And as I was in Shushan, the palace. Remember Shushan? What story do we know happened in Shushan? Esther? That was a big story that happened in Shushan. So we know he's in Assyria. Hananiah came, one of my brothers, he and the men of Judah, and asked them about the Jews who had escaped and who were left of captivity about Jerusalem. So, all right, so some guys, they left Assyria and went back to Jerusalem. And they said to me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great evil and shame. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates are burned with fire. And it happened when I heard these words, I sat down and I wept. And I mourned for the days and fasted and prayed before God of heaven. So, what do you do when you hear something like that, something that breaks your heart? He immediately fasted and prayed. What am I to do about this, God? What should I do? That's what we do. The answer, he didn't go off and try to fix it. He got before God and said, what am I to do, God? I don't know. First of all, I'm here in Assyria in captivity. What am I supposed to do? And said I, beseech you, Jehovah, God of heaven, the great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and mercy to those loving him. Oh, I like that. I was reading it in the King James this morning, and it said the terrible, terrible and mighty. I like great and awesome better. Because that's it. That's God. God isn't terrible. A lot of the world thinks God is terrible. Or even their version of God is terrible. If you don't do the right thing, you don't get whatever it is that you want. You know, that's not our God. And that's the problem, is we the church are bad at showing who God is to the world. You know, we judge people or I don't know. It's weird. There are Christians that I would go, yeah, I wouldn't want to be a Christian if that's what you thought of the idea of as a Christian. One of the things that I was talking about with that guy yesterday is he said, my brother, he said, I got baptized because mom and dad wanted me to do it, but I don't know about this God thing. And it's like, he said, I've seen so many Christians that they're hypocrites and liars and they just do awful stuff. And he was like, it's like, yeah, but just because they're bad doesn't mean God's bad. We are bad examples of who God is. And I'll even put that on myself. There have been times when I know God has told me to do stuff and I haven't done it. And that was me not doing what God said. I was being a bad example. There are times when people have done things and instead of turning the other cheek, I lit into that person. That was not a good example. But you know what? Then God would soften my heart and I'd go back and apologize. And I know I've told this story, but it's one of my favorites. I was coming back from Mansfield. I was talking to Mary on the phone, and I was in the fast lane, and I was driving slow. And there's some guy, he's revving up, and he's right on my tail, and he's honking, and I kind of see him, and I'm like, whatever. Anyway, he sees the name on the back of my truck, and he calls me up, and he's like, hey, blah, 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 and he starts cussing me out right here on the highway. And he's... you're in the fast lane, you're driving slow. He's yelling at me. I was like, hey. He's like, no, hey. I was like, no, hey. He's like, what? I said, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm in the fast lane and I'm driving slow. And immediately his countenance changed. He goes, oh, I'm sorry for yelling at you because I shouldn't have done that. It's like it doesn't matter. You just immediately, what does the Bible say? It's like, agree with your accusers. Yeah, you're right. I did that. I'm sorry. But, you know, and it softens their heart. They're not expecting that. They're expecting you to come back at them. That's good, man. What a witness to that guy. That I didn't call him an idiot. I mean, he was being a jerk. I had every right to go back at him. But I didn't. You're right. I was in the fast lane. I'm sorry. And I don't know how that affected that guy. You know, I don't know. We plant seeds. That's the fun thing, because the Bible says some plant and some harvest. You don't know. If you don't see the fruit of what you did, that's okay. Because God did. God said, you plant the seed. I got somebody else to harvest it. That's good. There are many people that I've come across on the internet, and I know, I love them, and I love on them, and I'm planting seeds in them. I never hear from them again, but I know that God one day is going to have somebody harvest that. They're going to remember. They're going to hear something that I said, and they're going to remember it, and it's going to probably get in their craw, as my old coach would say. He always went, what in the world is a craw? We don't know. I'm not into that kind of lingo. So. Probably a Louisiana thing. If anybody's from Louisiana knows what that means, let me know. I just know, you know, it's going to annoy them because they're, you know, they're, it's hard when you think you're right. Problem is, I know I'm right a lot. No, I'm just kidding. But when someone thinks they're right, then you come at them. You can't just come at them and go, you're wrong. You got to, it was funny, the other day I had this revelation that I go, I always try to explain things practically to people. I always try to give them an example. You know, what if a man does this? Blah, blah, blah. And I realized, oh my Lord, wow, that is what Jesus did all the time. He was always using parables. So if you use things to explain to people, and because it makes sense. In our rational mind, you go, you know, if this happens, then this happens. You're like, oh, that makes sense. And then you throw God into it, and you go, and there's what I'm getting at. And they go, oh. But if you just throw God at them, they're immediately going to shut off because they're like, I don't, you know, Christians are awful. Or blah, blah. You know, it's good. It's good to use parables. And so, anyway. Great and awesome God, keeping the covenant and mercy to those loving him. It's good. We love him. Do you guys love him? He keeps his covenant with us. We love him. We love him. And to the keepers of his commandments. Remember, they're no longer commandments, they're promises. Because Jesus is in them and in us, and he's doing them. He's doing them through us. That's what's great. I told that to that guy yesterday. I was like, hey, it's no longer a commandment. You're not living under the law. The law has been fulfilled. Jesus fulfilled it, and now he's in us, continually fulfilling it. It's good. And let your ears now be open and your eyes open, so that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you today, day and night, for your servants and sons of Israel, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which have sinned against you. Both I and my father's house have sinned, and we have acted utterly corrupt against you, and have not kept the commandments of the statutes of the judgments which you commanded your servant Moses. It's good. He sees it. You know, Jesus hadn't even come yet, but he's like, hey, I know. He knew. He had enough confidence saying, God, we messed up. He knew from the past. Every time that Israelites said, hey, God, we messed up, God would immediately redeem them. He'd come in and he'd redeem them. He just needed them to be humble. Humble, it doesn't mean weak. It just means you understand that it's above you. You can't do it. God, I can't make myself perfect. I can't be holy. You said, be holy as I'm holy. And I'm like, there's no way. I could try. And I'd make it about 1 minute. And then I'd think of, be proud of that 1 minute where I was holy. And then I'd have to confess that. And then have to try again. And it just wouldn't work. I beseech you, remember the word that you commanded your servant Moses, saying, if you sin, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you will turn to me and keep my commandments and do them, though you were cast out to the outermost parts of the heavens, yet I will gather you from there and will bring them to the place that I have chosen, and I will set my name there. Names are important to God. It's interesting. You know, I always think it's fun when you look at the names in the Bible. You know, if some guy have a weird name, you're like, but the problem is that, and the thing is that that name has a meaning. Like Peleg, you know, it was talking about the world being separated. It's interesting. This is another rabbit trail. There's the pyramids in Egypt, and there's pyramids like in South America and stuff, and they're all perfectly aligned. And I wondered if before the world was divided, if they were all in one place, because they're talking about when some guy was like, well, they're perfectly designed in their notes. And if you look at the notes and their frequencies, and I was like, what don't we know nowadays that we've lost? Because remember, those people in the beginning, they had communion with God. God told them lots of things. We have lost so much of that in our wisdom. And now we're starting to figure it all out again. It's like the internet is kind of like the Tower of Babel. You know, we can all talk to each other again. Problem is there's a lot of garbage out there you have to sift through. So that's like all the different languages being jumbled up. So we still, there's no way. That's an interesting story to me. It's like God had made man so smart that they could build a tower that could reach God. It's like, and God had to say, hey, we better put an end to this. It's like, how? I mean, how, we can't do that nowadays. There's no way. We can make a tower that's 100 stories high or whatever. That's it. And God's not really worried about it. So, and do them, though you were cast out into the uttermost parts of heaven, yet I will gather them from there and will bring them to the place that I have chosen and set my name there. And these are your servants and your people whom you have redeemed by your great power and by your strong hand. O Lord, I beg you, let your ear be open to the prayers of your servant and to the prayers of your servants who delight to hear your name. And I beg you and bless your servant today and grant him mercy before this man. For I was the cupbearer of the king. So he's about to go. He, like Esther, is about to go before the king and ask for a favor. I don't know who he's talking about. I mean, it was Jeff. He's talking about we could be before leaders and God could give us favor with them. I know that happened to my dad a lot when he'd travel the world and he would meet with, there's no way. There's no way my dad should have been meeting with those leaders. Who's my dad? A guy in a little tiny church in Fort Worth that insignificant. And he was meeting with world leaders and giving them the wisdom of the Lord. And if they listened to him, man, their country was always blessed. And if they didn't, it would often not go well for them. But why? Why would? Because my dad loved Jesus. And my dad was willing to just whatever Jesus told him to do. I mean, he had some crazy stories, you know, going through Russia and being, you know, being pulled over by guards. And it's like, that's God. Remember, when God has a plan for you, nothing can stop you. When God wants to reach someone, he'll do it. The question is, are you willing to go through whatever it takes to do it? I used to wish that Texas was going to be the Bible talks about there's going to be a remnant and they're not going to go through the tribulation. And I was like, oh, Lord, let it be Texas. Maybe it will. We're crazy enough here. We got enough guns. It might be us. But it doesn't really matter. I'm at the point in my life where I'm going, like, God, whatever you want me to go through, I'll go through it. I'll go through hell and back if you want me to. Not literal hell, but, you know, torment here on earth. If it gets one person to be with you. But that's not me, because that's, humanly, that sounds awful. But I know that God loves me and will protect me, and even if I die, so be it. And I think if you look at where we're at in the world, I mean, more and more stuff like that's going to happen. When you read Revelation and it talks about all the believers being beheaded, I'm like, wow. Did you know that in California they're going to do away with lethal injection? And one of the things they've decided to do is beheading again, because they say it's more humane. It's like, how could that happen in our time? I didn't know as a young man how the world could fall apart. Even you read in the Bible and you're like, how could it get to that? And it's like, I've only been alive 48 years and I've seen it go from awesome in the 80s to where we're at right now. That's, you know, 40-something years. But we don't have to worry about it. You know, wherever, if you love God, wherever you're at, this guy's in Assyria, wherever you're at, God can listen to you, hear you, answer your prayers, bless you. Joseph was blessed. Remember, Joseph had the dreams. And we were talking about this the other night, on Tuesday night. That didn't happen for a long time. God gave him a word. And then he went. And then he was thrown in a pit. That didn't seem to answer the word. And then he went to Potiphar's house. He's like, oh, all right, here's the answer. I'm now getting up in the world. And then, Potiphar's wife, you know, accused him of something. Then he went into jail again. And he's like, golly, I had a dream. My mother and father and brothers, they're all going to bow down to me. Was that correct, God? Did you say that to me? And then he became Pharaoh's number two after the guy said, oh, I got a guy that can tell your dream. Pharaoh made him number two. And then his brother showed up, and he's like, wow. And that didn't happen overnight. That was a long time. We often think that things are going to happen like immediately. If God gives you a word, you don't just say, okay, good. You say when, because sometimes it's going to be a while. God told my dad to stretch out the tent stakes in this church, and he didn't see that. He didn't see it. But it's going to happen. Moses didn't get to go to the promised land. But it was a promise from God, and he knew it was going to happen. People in the Alamo, who died at the Alamo, have no idea that we live in the greatest state on the face of this planet, where we worship God, and we trust God, and we obey him, and we fear him. And because they did that, we have that freedom to do that. They don't know. It's an exciting time that we live in, and I don't know if you guys can see it. I know you can't, because the problem is like Jeff, they're in David, they're in Nehemiah, and they're in Isaiah, and they're studying that, and I'm doing something else, and somebody else is doing something else. You do what God is preparing you to do. Don't do somebody else's job. If we all did the same job, the whole thing wouldn't get done. We need everybody to do their own job that God has prepared them to do. Jeff works at Walmart. I don't know if Jeff's excited about working at Walmart, but I know he goes there with a joyful heart every day, and he sees what God can do at Walmart. And God's going to, and I know he's touched many lives there. You know, why did I never become rich and famous? I don't have the drive for it. I'm too relaxed. I don't have that killer instinct. What would go and, you know, just be able to trample people. Because that's not the heart that God gave me. God gave me a gentle heart that just loves people for who they are. And again, that's not me. That's God in me. Because in me, I'm lazy and selfish. But God in me has made me a fantastic worker, a fantastic provider, holy, righteous, wonderful. He's done the same thing to you. He's in you to will and to do. You just got to let him do it. You got to stop trying to help him. You got to go, God, I'm going to step back. I'm going to be the vessel that you created me to be. Vessels don't do anything, but man, they have a purpose. They can't do anything of their own, but man, they are important. Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your design for this world. Thank you that this world is your creation for us, to bless us, to just shower your love and grace on it. And it's just a taste of what eternity is going to be like with you. And thank you that you have given us the charge to go out and go to the entire world and to show who you are. Thank you that you're growing us up so that we can be a good example of who you are to other people. We don't have to be Paul or Moses. We don't have to be David. We can be who we are because you made us for this time. Now, at this moment, for who we are to do what we need to do in you. Let everybody's conversation be edifying today and through the rest of the week, and bless everybody, keep them safe, and guide their steps. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Monty, can you say the benediction, please? Oh, yeah, but okay. You want to do Joel first or the benediction? Let's do Joel first, and then Monty will do the benediction. Did everybody get the sign-up sheet for the Seder? Good. It's going to be awesome. All right, Pastor Joel. You want to speak first or you want the video to play first?
I greet you again, brother, in the name of the Lord. My name is Jobu Kenya, and I'm so glad to be here again. And I bring greetings from Uganda, and from Sarah, my wife, and all the children and the champions. They convey their greetings to you. They know for sure that I'm here. They prayed for you today because for them they are already done with church. It was 8 in the morning here. For them they had already done with the work. I'm here to just bring the greetings, and I think because of time I will just show you the video and explain a little bit of what God is doing there with our champion, your children, the people, the ministry that you have sponsored over the years, and God is blessing us down there. So I don't know whether the video is ready. There, my name is Jobu Kenya, the director of Blessed Hope Champions Home and Academy. I'm standing here at the campus, and this is a very good environment here. And we have our kids enjoying this place, and you are going to see classes, you are going to see many other things we are doing here. We have animals, gardens where we grow crops. We have the prayer garden that side, and we have the high school right behind this building. But from here to the other end, where you see, that is elementary or primary levels. But it's a good place. We love our children. We love what you're doing, though it is so hard. But we enjoy because we always see the hand of God, and God is working with us. Thank you. God bless you.
Greetings, dear viewers. My name is Eddie. I am the head teacher, Blessed Hope High School, the home of the champions. I would like to thank you so much for always supporting and being there for us. We are having learners who join us in secondary school. As you know, Blessed Hope has been running a primary section for so long, and now we are running a secondary section where our learners who sit their primary 7 come and join secondary for 6 years, where they sit their national exams and then qualify to the university. Last year, we had candidates who sat for their national exams and they passed really very well, and they will be joining university in August. Therefore, my humble request is you support us, support them, stand with us, that they may be able to go and do the different courses as God is going to guide them. We have those who chose engineering, chose education, nurses, doctors, so please stand with us and support the new generation. We welcome you. Come and visit us. Come and share with us your life experience. And these learners are always going to be welcoming you anytime you feel like visiting Blessed Hope. May God bless you.
Hello, friends. I'm John Paul Kakoza, a doctor here at the Champions Academy. We want to thank each one of you who has stood with us from the far very beginning. And may the Almighty God continue to richly bless. Our mandate, together with my medical team, is to make sure that any champion is with other fellow champion is tested, is diagnosed, and treated properly. Once again, we want to thank each one of you who has stood with us from the far beginning But again, there are some other items that we are urgently need, like
the mama kits,
the mosquito nets,
and other different specials.
We also in need of an X-ray machine, an ambulance, and an electric binocular microscope. We want to welcome your visitors. Come and visit Africa. More especially, come and visit the land of the champions. You are welcome.
It is the example of one of the of our needs here. We need to harvest water from the roofs of the buildings, and we need tanks to all our buildings around. And when we get the tanks everywhere on the building, we shall have no problem with water. One tank plus the gutters which goes around the house costs $1,000. And we need about 7 more tanks to other buildings. Facing the whole campus is a big need. We divided it into four phases. The first phase was done. It was $12,000. And then the second phase was done. It was $8,000. Now we are remaining with two phases. The third phase, $8,000, and the fourth phase, $8,000, and that will be done. And then more land. We need more. The more land we get, the more crops we can harvest during harvest time. When we get enough food, the rest we sell it and meet more needs that we have. Then the teacher's salary. The teacher's salary is really, really most needed.
Hello, friends. I love you.
Well, friends, you are most welcome to come and visit us here. They are the Champions Home and Academy. We are enjoying our Easter celebration today here. So God bless you as you plan to come and visit us. The door is widely open. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for supporting us over the years. And as you know, we have over 1,000 kids on 4 campuses. And many of them, they have grown up, and we have many who have really graduated from a college and university, and they are actually out there working. And some of them, they came back and they are serving their fellows, working with us. And we see the hand of God. We see how God is really working in the lives of these kids, especially when we added the high school. Because remember, we were running the school from kindergarten to primary grade 7. Until we realized later that our goal will not be scored well. Because when we release them to go to other schools outside there, the peer pressure they find outside there ruins their faith. So we decided to take another step where we are having them 6 more years from grade 7 to high school. And we were very surprised to see how God is really. It's now 2.5 years since we added on that level. But our children, they have really done great. We always have the national exams in grade 7, 11th grade, and high school. All those levels, our kids, they passed very, very well. As you heard Eddie saying there. And also, we lifted the trophy of soccer tournament in the district. We are the champion. I mean, last year we are number 2, but this year we are number 1. I take the tournament in soccer and academics and also supports. You know, we have a say that God in my heart, education in my head, working hard with my hands, then money in my wallet, then I can go anywhere I want to go and serve the kingdom of God. So we are working, as you know, in Uganda we have many learned people. We have them. We have doctors. We have professors. We have many, many, many in different leadership capacity. But those are the people who are ruining our country. And the reason why they do that, because they are not touched here. They are just having the head knowledge, but here they are empty. But now God told us to disciple the generation that will change our country. God first. And it's working. When you see how God is really doing an incredible work in their lives, you see that indeed God is doing and preparing this younger generation to take over the country for Christ. And we need much of your prayers. On Easter Sunday, the last Easter, like 1.5 months ago, before Easter, I felt so convicted in my spirit to challenge people. This time, instead of celebrating Easter in their homes and inviting their people, their levels, and eat and watch TV and party, and I said, why don't we come and celebrate with the champion and participate a little bit of what Jesus did? Because Jesus, he was in heaven, but he came in this world, emptied himself all the attributes of God, and he became a man. And for 33 and a half years, he identified with us in our situation. Why don't we live there? Because Easter with Jesus was not fun. It was not an easy time for him. It was real. It was hard. So why don't we come and show love to these champions and celebrate together? Wow, that was really good to many of them, where we had more than 60 couples came. And Sarah, my wife, she donated a bull. And we had a very good time, and where the champions practiced and in songs and performed that day and in drama. And we invited even some of the professional singers who came and performed, and one preacher came and preached. I was very surprised to see that like more than 30 champions gave their life to Christ. That touched my heart. You know, when we have them, we don't force them. We don't force them to get saved. But we just teach and teach and teach the word of God. We want someone to decide by himself. But on Easter, I was very, very excited to see many of them giving their life to Christ, and they will never be the same again. So I'm here to invite you to come. I heard Pastor David say that maybe in September, there are some people who are coming to visit us. Oh, I was very excited, and the door is wide open. You can, even all of you, come. We have enough room for you, but you have to come and see the work you guys you have really sponsored over the years. And you remember Pastor Jim was our father in the gospel and our great donor. I mean, everything that we are doing there, he has a hand on it. And we are so much proud of this church, because I know that you, together with him, you made us what we are. Not only in the discipleship, because what Pastor Jim did to us in Uganda, he groomed us in the word of God. He taught us how to live in this world. He taught us how to take care of our families. We are doing the same to others there. And I thought that when Pastor David died, the whole world had come to an end. But I tell you what, what he left with us is working. We are teaching the married couples every Sunday over the radio. We have over 1 million people who are listening. And Easter Monday, we had the married couples seminar where we invited all of those who are listening on the radio, because not everything about marriage, you can speak it on the radio. So that's when we were very surprised to see a big number of people coming, and they give the testimony of how they benefit by listening on the radio. But we are teaching the message of Pastor Jim. There is what he left with us. Women, they love it so much. They say, you take the burdens, they take the blessings. The men, they take all the burdens, and the women take all the blessings. But we are so much blessed. And thank you so much. God bless you as you come to visit us. In fact, I came here. There are some guys who want to come and teach us how to grow crops in a modern way. And they said that out of the acres we have, this time we harvested like 300 kilograms of corn, 300 bags of corns, and each bag weighs 100 kilograms. But he said that in the same place we can double if we use this kind of modern way of growing crops. But I said I have to go to Emmanuel Church. That's why I'm here. And one of the testimony I can give is that when I met Ruth Graham, you know, she's the daughter of Bill Graham. She's our friend, and I usually speak in her conferences. But this time when we met lunch, and when she saw the video, she said, let me call my brother. So she called Franklin, and Franklin said, I'll take care of all those clinic equipments they need. My goodness. I said, thank you so much, Lord. So thank you. God bless you. Keep us in your prayers. Amen.